is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to talk about a certain area of family law, and that's enforcing child support by child support services offices of counties throughout California. My guests are Ileana Rodriguez, the director of, and Trinidad Madrigal, a staff attorney of the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services. My other guest is Robert Bruning, who's a family law attorney who has an office in San Mateo. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And for those of you who would like to call in with your questions, if you're listening to us live, we'll be taking your calls probably in about 15 minutes or so. So be patient with us if you would, and I'll give you the phone number in just a couple of minutes. And for those of you who listen to us for the full hour, we will be taking your calls also, but that will also be in the second half hour of the program. And if you are listening to us on the internet at www.kalw.org, you'll be able to hear the entire full program of 1 hour. Well, I thank you for joining us. Very nice to have you here. Ileana, would you do this? Would you tell people what, for example, your office has done, and generally speaking, child support services offices throughout California have done in this area of child support?
Well, for those folks that may be unfamiliar with the program, child support is a federal program established in 1975, and it operates, it's state-administered, county-operated, and it's evolved. It started back in 1975 as a welfare recovery program. Mm-hmm. So all children in receipt of public assistance throughout the nation, the parents who had custody of those children and were receiving aid for the children were mandated into the program. Since that, it's involved any family with a minor child in the home can request the services.
No matter how much money you've got?
Doesn't matter how much money you
really
have, right?
Yeah.
There's a annual fee. If we collect at least $500 a year for you, then there's an annual fee of $25. For public assistance recipients, there is no fee annually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's evolved from that welfare recovery model more towards a holistic approach to working with both parents to establish realistic orders that provide a consistent stream of support, monthly support that can be relied upon and budgeted for by the other parent.
With regard to then, let's say a significant percentage of the parents, the non-custodial parent, who's kind of become a deadbeat, does this relate to the relationship between the non-custodial parent and the mother? For the most part, let's say, I guess it's the most often it's the non-custodial parent is the father, I presume.
In 90% of the cases,
okay,
they are.
So does it relate to the difficulty that the non-custodial parent is not making child support payments because he hates his former wife or the mother of the child, or what's going on here? Is it the economy now generally that's causing this, or is it a combination of both?
Most parents, well, first, Chuck, we never refer to the obligor parent as a deadbeat.
right. I'm sorry, all of you out there.
That's a horrible term.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yes. They may, for various reasons, almost 65% of the people are paying regularly their support in California, about 67% in our county pay through garnishment. There's a large population that have barriers to employment. Or just don't make enough money that they can meet all their basic living expenses and pay. There are some of those that go underground because they may have that acrimonious relationship with the ex-spouse or the...
But that's not that big a problem, it sounds like.
Not in many of the cases. I think what we see more in our office are barriers to employment where people need a helping hand to get them into the right programs and perhaps step-up orders, some orders that will gradually get them to pay an amount that's in line with what the state guidelines.
When you say step-up orders, what does that mean?
Step-up orders, the court will take a look routinely at the individual's particular situations and see right now we had just a few months ago, we had an individual who owed substantial amount of money, was just coming out of prison and was in rehab. So she completed the rehab.
You said she?
She.
This is the mother, who's non-custodial parent,
yeah. completed the rehab, but could not pay the minimum amount of $100 on back support she owed, mm-hmm. and much less an additional $350 towards the current support. So the court ordered a $20 order per month initially, and then looked at it every mm-hmm. 6 months and where mm-hmm. she was mm-hmm. to step it up. And mm-hmm. then she started paying what would be the state average based on her income. Mm-hmm. So they gradually get the parent to where they should be paying.
When you say you take the holistic approach to try to help these people who have been confronted with barriers to employment, what is it that your office, the Child Support Services Office of San Mateo County, where are you directing these people to try to help them overcome or jump over the barrier of employment or lack of employment?
What we've tried is to refer them to, like, JobTrain, uh-huh. Peninsula Works, and unfortunately, the federal government has not allowed for the program to pick up some of those costs or to mm-hmm. assist them with some work programs or training skills. All we can mm-hmm. do right now mm-hmm. is refer the parent. We're hoping that through some modernization of the federal regulations, perhaps in the future, that there's more partnering with work enforcement boards, the WIBs, in the mm-hmm. counties, and they recognize that child support, self-sufficiency for families is not about one parent receiving assistance, but it's about two parents mm-hmm. receiving assistance so that mm-hmm. they both can contribute to the well-being of their children.
Is there a lot of problem that you try to overcome, a lot of communication problem between the parents of these children?
Sure. I think the attorneys routinely are the ones stuck in the middle of trying to navigate.
I see a lot of bruises on you, Rob. Is that because you're in the middle?
At times.
You know, in my early career as an attorney, going back a long time ago to when I was down in L.A., I had one or two family law cases. I was not in that area of the law. I was doing personal injury defense. And I found that, and this was a nasty divorce between a guy who was actually a fairly successful actor, movie actor, and his wife, whose father was apparently the husband in this case referred to him as the garbage king because he owned some kind of garbage company. But in any event, How do you, Rob, deal with such a difficult area of the law? I found it much more difficult than even criminal law prosecution.
It can be challenging. I think also, too, at the same time, it can be rewarding from the standpoint of helping people get through these problems and seeing and letting them know, letting them find out that it's not as bad as perhaps mm-hmm. they perceived it to be. Plus, I think, too, as it relates to support also, that I think at some point people, they like to feel like that they're contributing to their children mm-hmm. and assisting them. But I think it's very, very important as a member of the private bar when I, my perspective, so to speak, is I'll have a person come to see me and it'll be either for a person who is in need of support. So they've been married, they've separated, or sometimes it's not uncommon that it's an unmarried couple. Mm-hmm. They've lived together mm-hmm. for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. Something happens, they separate. And obviously, giving rise to a divorce, giving rise to separation, they don't get along. Mm-hmm. So there is going to be that emotional mm-hmm. element to it. And then you add money to that emotional element. And sure, it can be challenging sometimes. But it's not, I don't think it's bad as it's perceived to be. I think most people understand that obviously it takes money to raise a child mm-hmm. And that they soon find out that it is both parents' responsibility mm-hmm. by statute to provide for this assistance. So it's just not one person pulling the load. But you're always going to have your exceptions to the rule. Person comes in and says, hey, I'm not going to pay support. And mm-hmm. we very quickly tell them that's impossible. It's mm-hmm. not going to happen. You will pay support. But it's you're just not the only one pulling the load.
If you find that the non-custodial parent is saying, well, gee, you know, my former wife or my former partner will not let me see my child, so why should I pay support? Do you get that?
Sure do, sure.
And how do you deal with that?
Well, emotionally, I think you have to let them know that you hear them. Mm-hmm. And you say, I do understand that, and that's very often custody as an issue goes hand in glove with support. Mm-hmm. The state guideline, there are a number of elements that go into the calculation that determine support. One of those inputs is the amount of time that a non-custodial parent spends with the child. In one sense, it's unfortunate because there is this connection, but in another sense, there's no way else it could be done. I mean, it's just simple. If somebody is spending 70% of the time with the children, they're going to be bearing 70% of those expenses, and it makes complete sense. But it is true. Parent comes in and says, hey, my contact with the child is being frustrated. Sometimes that could be perception. Sometimes that can be reality. In any event, it is an issue, but it doesn't change anything. That mm-hmm. child needs support, yeah. whether or not that's going on. And what you do then is you try to address that part of the issue and say, hey, let's see if we can straighten that custodial aspect out.
The basic approach here is looking to get the best interest of the child accomplished. Isn't that what we're talking about here?
Well, that is the mantra, as I call it.
Okay. You call it what?
The mantra.
The mantra. Okay.
Of mediation, family court services, the court system. Mm-hmm. It is not so much what the parents think or want, but what is in the best interest of the child.
If you've got somebody who, let's say, has been affected by the overall economy, but let's say is not over a barrel, is not homeless, but is not being really cooperative, what are the things, Trinidad, that your department, the Child Support Services Office of San Mateo County, as an example of what other offices similar to yours throughout California can do, what are the things that you can do to really get the attention of this person who doesn't want to cooperate and pay at least some child support?
Our main goal is to communicate with the parent, mm-hmm. to let them know that we're not the bad guy and that they're not the bad guy. Mm-hmm. That, as Robert was saying, paying support is your primary responsibility because that's in the best interest of your child. So we, early on in the case, whether we're establishing the order or whether we're just enforcing the order, because by law, we can also establish the child support order on behalf of the child. Mm-hmm. We don't represent the custodial parent. We, in essence, represent the child's right to child support. So we get a lot of information by automation, addresses, phone numbers.
Driver's licenses, I suppose.
We have date of birth, social security numbers. Mm-hmm. We also get a lot of information from the other parent, the custodial mm-hmm. parent. Mm-hmm. So we, and I think this is true in all the counties, we make a very concerted effort to reach out to talk to that person, mm-hmm. to educate them about child support, to educate them about their obligation. We will give them information about the factors that are used in child support. And then if we're establishing the order, we will issue a summons and complaint to establish the order if we're enforcing it. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of tools that the statute, that the law gives us that we can use to enforce it. But the main thing is to communicate. Mm-hmm. If we find that there are barriers, for example, the economy, last year and the year before that, there were a lot of modifications that were filed to decrease child support. We have an internal process called review and adjustment that every DCSS agency has and can avail themselves of. All you have to do is say, I can't afford it. And we will send out the what we call the RNA packet.
What does that mean?
What's review that? And adjustment.
I see. Okay.
And then we assess the case to mm-hmm. see if there has been a change of circumstance from mm-hmm. the current order. Mm-hmm. And we will assist the requesting party in filing a modification. If there,
So what you're saying, as I hear it here, is that your office, as an example of what offices generally are doing throughout the state of California, you are not favoring just the custodial parent. You are trying to make this work for both parties, and particularly the child.
Absolutely. We try to balance everybody's interests.
Wow.
We recognize
that's a tightrope, isn't it?
It can be challenging. but in the Bay Area, especially, we recognize that it's an expensive place to live.
Yes, it is.
And we try to help them in whatever way we can. Mm-hmm. We will ask for deviation from guideline type of orders where the mm-hmm. court has the discretion. Let's say that after you run the calculation and the support would be $500. But you look at their income and expense declaration that hopefully they filed with the quarter that you have access to, and you see that their expenses are particularly high, but they're reasonable given where they live, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We'll point those factors out to the court, and we'll say, we don't think that this person can afford the $500. We're requesting a deviation from a guideline because everybody's trying to get the person to pay and that way help the family.
What percentage of your cases? I think, Ileana, you told me that this last year your office has something like 14,000 cases.
Correct.
Whereas L.A. has, did you tell me, I think 300,000?
Over 350,000.
Can you imagine what that must be like?
Yep.
I would not want to be there. But in any event, how do you deal with people who what percentage of the 14,000 cases you have are people who have just come out in the last year or so from being incarcerated in jail or state prison?
Oh, I don't have that.
Would it be more than 10%?
Could be at least 10%. I think normally that's a population that has various barriers, and so their payment of support, their record, is probably not as stellar as other parents because of
it. Would be a disaster, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, someone who's in prison.
Right, you're very limited in terms of where you can apply for jobs.
So essentially what you're confronted with is someone who gets out of jail or gets out of prison, has no job. How do you deal with someone like that who may also end up being homeless? How do you deal with these people?
Employment, referring them to employment programs.
I see.
The attorneys will look to see.
When you say the attorneys, are you including Trinidad and other attorneys in your office?
We have four staff attorneys.
Do you?
In our office.
Mm.
And every county has a number of attorneys in their offices. But the attorneys in our office will work with the courts because we can only establish an order based on guideline support. And in California, which is dissimilar to other states, there is a presumption that at least minimum wage, you can make minimum wage. You know that in the Great Recession, it's been very difficult for people to even get minimum wage. It's routine that 32 hours is the work week. That's not reality for people coming out of prison.
No.
So the avenue is going to court and asking for a deviation from the bench themselves, the judicial officer, so that they can get into a program, and they'll give them that leeway.
The other thing that we could do in that situation, and it's not that uncommon, is ask for what Ileana had referred to as a step-up order.
Mm-hmm.
Where,
as you described before,
One of the things that we've tried to include in all of our orders for a number of years now is we have this standing provision that we ask the court to suspend child support the first day of the month following someone's incarceration if we know that they're going to be incarcerated for at least 90 consecutive days.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that's interesting. We monitor that. A lot of times we find out because family members will call and say, hey, my son got arrested. He's in jail, et cetera. Or we may get a letter saying, I'm now incarcerated. That protects the accrual of arrears.
Oh, it does. It stops the accrual if you find out about this?
Yes.
I see.
And then we'll monitor their incarceration. Mm-hmm. And when they come out, the provision states that it automatically springs back to what the court-ordered amount was on the first day following their release from incarceration.
But not the back non-payments.
That will be there until it's paid in full under California. We're talking about that suspension period. So let me
try to clarify, because I think maybe I mixed you up and mixed up everyone else. I thought when you said that if you found out that someone was incarcerated, that stopped the accrual of the child support payments.
During the period of incarceration.
Does that mean that that's forgiven?
It means
or just
that
postponed.
It means that child support was suspended during that time period, so there is no child support.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought. That's what I thought you had to say on this. By the way, let me give the statewide, both the local and statewide number for child support service offices in California, which includes the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services. It's and by the way, this is a toll-free number, 866-901 866-901-3212. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm going to give you an opportunity to call in if you like, ask a question, make a comment. Here's our local number for you, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you'd like to call in now with a question about child support, my guests are here to try to help you and hopefully make things work better for you than they have before. All right. This is Your Legal Rights, and my guests are Ileana Rodriguez. She's the director of Trinidad Madrigal, a staff attorney of the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services. My other guest is Robert Bruning. He's a family law attorney. His office is in San Mateo. And by the way, for those of you who are listening to us live, we will continue for a full hour. For those of you who listen to us, let's say on a delayed basis, you will get a half an hour program, which we provide to you and wherever you are in California the following week. So we're going to take some calls very shortly. This program, when you talk about suspension of child support, so when someone gets out of jail, and let's say... let me expand it beyond this. If someone is being reluctant to pay child support for whatever reason, and you want to try to make sure that the child's interests are properly served, you can have what's called, and let's say this person is actually working, you can do a wage garnishment, can you not? I guess you have to file a complaint with a court, I presume.
No, we have administrative garnishments.
Oh, you do?
We do. Child support has administrative garnishments. And actually, of the $2.4 billion, I think, we collected this past fiscal year, 70% of it was received via garnishments.
When you say $2.4 billion, you mean in California?
California.
All of the offices in California.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Wow. All right. Well, let's do this. Noel, welcome to Your Legal Rights. Hi, are you there?
About my child support. You know, I'm just calling about the waste of taxpayers' money. I get in ahead of paying my child support, and instead of them forwarding it to the next month, they send me a check for 6 pennies.
Oh, no.
Yes, I get a check in. One time I even got a check overpaid for a penny. Now, that costs the taxpayer more money to print that than it does to send it to me. That's ironic. Why can't they adjust that? Why can't they just forward it? My daughter's not 18 yet. I got a bunch of years ahead of me. But they're sending me checks for 6 cents, 1 penny. You know, what kind of ironic crime is that?
Well, all right. Let me get some comments for you. What county are you?
I'm in San Francisco County.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Noel, thank you very much for your comments. Obviously, I can see you're frustrated.
Yeah.
Are you able to make regular payments, however?
Oh, yes. I make payments on a regular basis. There was one time where I was incarcerated, and I had child support come in and talk to me for the 90 days I was incarcerated, and it didn't get waived. I ended up owing something like $3,400.
For the period of time you were incarcerated?
Yeah.
Then I guess you did not communicate with the Child Support Services office that you were in jail. Right.
Yes, I did. They came to the county of San Francisco, San Bruno Jail. I think it's County Jail 2. They came out and did all the paperwork, and I was still owed in the arrears of $3,200. And I got the paper in the mail.
How long ago was that, Noel?
That was back in, I would say, last year.
Last year, 2011.
Yeah.
Well, let me get some comments for you with respect to both of the concerns that you have, because this is very interesting. Take the answer on the air. Will you turn your radio back up?
Yes.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. But what about this? He's saying they came out, got the paperwork, and they still didn't forgive, suspend child support.
Right.
He said they didn't do that.
Right.
That's San Francisco.
As Trinidad said, we have spring orders in ours. The court in our jurisdiction believed that it was a waste. If they would have filed a modification in San Mateo County because they were incarcerated, they would have granted a suspension of support.
Does that have to be granted by the court itself?
Yes. Well, the court allowed us to put in all judgments entered in San Mateo County Superior Court that language. And there's a number of counties that have it. To address that issue, what the state did, there was legislation introduced that took effect July 1st, 2012, where any individual owing support who's incarcerated, their order as of July 1st, when they get out, they can request a modification within 90 days of being released.
I see.
So I suspect San Francisco does not have the automatic suspension.
That's interesting.
And if it was a San Francisco order or another county that does not have that spring language, it cannot be automatically suspended. With regards to the Sixth Sense, I agree. It's totally wasteful.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, it is.
Terrible.
So I'll bring it back to the state. I had understood
there was
a defect.
Because you can do that.
We can.
Yeah, and so whoever is being so worried about Sixth Sense hopefully won't do it
anymore.
Spent
more on postage.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, well, yeah. What? What does a government agency pay?
42 cents?
Yeah. I mean, that's really incredible.
Well, I think that's something that I always mention to payors of support is that know your orders. Know where your order is. Know the specifics of it. And I'll... Due respect to Noel, I don't mean to be critical whatsoever, but you could always pay the exact amount that they're asking you to pay.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was mentioned as well is a modification of support, in this case due to incarceration, or very often we'll see a modification that arises due to the loss of employment or where the wage has been reduced significantly. And once a month, Chuck, at least, I'm in court, and the parties are before the court, and they say, well, sir, we found that you're in arrears by a certain amount and that we're making a finding that of this arrearage. Mm-hmm. And they say, but the other party said that it was okay, that they knew I lost my job. So instead of paying $500, I'm paying $250. Mm-hmm. And they agreed. They said it was okay. Mm-hmm. And the judge, all they can do is shake their head and say, look, all I can do is work on orders. If an order says that you owe $500,
you owe $500. All right. It is right now. It's just about 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program on child support, enforcing child support, and what services are available through various county offices throughout California. Each county has a child support services office, and for those of you who, let's say, are custodial parents and you are having a problem getting the non-custodial parent to pay child support, if you are not aware of the services that are involved, that's what we're talking about on this segment of Your Legal Rights. If you are the non-custodial parent and you are trying to put your head in the sand, there are things that can even make your life, I guess, more anxious if you don't... let's say take your head out of the sand and realize that you've got to do this for the best interests of the child. My guests are Ileana Rodriguez. She's the director of, and Trinidad Madrigal, a staff attorney for the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services. By the way, that both the local and statewide number for the Child Support Services Office that includes San Mateo County is area code, and by the way, this is a free number, no charge on this, 866-901-3212, 866-901-3212. And as I understand it, wherever you are in California, if you need to get in touch with the Child Support Services Office in your county, that's the number to call, and they'll direct you to the appropriate county. My other guest is Robert Bruning. He's a family law attorney, handles a lot of these cases in court. His office is in San Mateo. And so I welcome you to call in. You're very quiet tonight, everybody, which I hope is good. I hope you're not having a child support problem. But the number is 1-415-841-4134. If you are listening to us out of the area, in other words, you're listening to us on the internet at www.kalw.org, that's the same number to call, 1-415-841-4134. And when you're ready, please call. If you prefer not to have your voice on the air, you can call and speak to Martin. Try to have a succinct question or comment, if you would, and he'll bring it into the studio. For those of you who are wondering, if you listen to this program with some regularity, wondering when we'll do our next Call a Lawyer night, we're not doing one this month. Pardon me, because I didn't want to do one the day after Christmas. The next one will be January 23rd, where we will have a number of attorneys here at the station off the air to talk with you off the air while I'm doing a regular program. Pardon me. So in any event, that's what we're doing. And so again, if you're having a problem as a non-custodial parent in dealing with this kind of a situation of being able to make child support payments and you're just over a barrel because of the economy, please join us with your question, your comment, your concern, so my guests can respond to this and try to be of some assistance to you. If you're a custodial parent and are having difficulty supporting your child because the non-custodial parent isn't paying it, I hope you would join us too with your question, your comments. One thing I'd like to ask you, Ileana, I have included in the information sheet that we send out to all of the stations that take the program delayed, the half-hour version, and play it the following week. I've included your email address, your office's email address. Is that something that you like people to do, or is it better for them just to use the phone number?
We enjoy getting email addresses.
Do you?
Yeah,
all right.
Let me give it then.
Here's the email address for the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services, if you'd like to jot it down, www.smcdcss.com. SMC for San Mateo County, DCSS, that's the Department of Child Support Services. So it's www.smcdcss.com. That's the website. Thank you very much. Eric has gotten me back on the right track. That is the website. Is that the right thing for them to do or not?
The website, yes. And I'd like to point out the state also has a Customer Connect on their website. Just go to Google and put California Department of Child Support Services, and they have Customer Connect. If you have a case anywhere in the state of California with one of the local offices, you can get a PIN similar to your banking or what have you. You can see the status of your case, your balance, email your caseworker, and they'll electronically receive it and we'll be able to respond to you.
Gee, that's wonderful.
Also, I wanted to add, if anybody wanted to apply for services,
yes,
they can do that online also.
Right.
Or they can call the number that you've given and ask for an application.
Wonderful.
Packet.
Okay, very good. All right, let's go with Dan. Dan, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Well, thank you for having me.
Sure.
So I'm in a situation where I'm trying to determine support payments with a spouse, and I'm working full-time, and she's working part-time. And she's uninterested in getting full-time work, even though there's no reason why she couldn't. And that's making, that's leaving much larger child support payments for me because, well, there's a very big disparity in incomes.
What may I ask you this, Dan? When you say she could do this, but she's not, what is she doing with her? How old is the child or children, and what is she doing with her time?
We have two boys, one 16 and one 12.
Mm-hmm.
She is working about half time. Working as an office manager for her brother's medical practice, working for him for about 8 years. She's college educated, and I'm sure he would give her a good reference. I can't understand why she couldn't find a position, a full-time position, but she feels she needs to be home for the boys.
Well, and you don't agree with that, is that right?
Well, truth is that I don't think she's actually doing very much with the boys in the afternoons. They're mostly sitting around playing video games.
Okay, yeah. Well, what kids will do, yeah. Mom doesn't have to help them do the video games, I presume. Unless they're looking at the wrong video games. And then we want to have Nick's on the wrong video games. All right, so you would like to see what can be done to get the custodial parent to actually expand her income ability and therefore take some pressure off you. That's basically your question, right?
Yes, and one more caveat, and that is that she has been living with someone for 6 years, and could his income
considered
part of the calculation as well?
Is this someone who you know does not have child support for his own kids? Or do you know?
That is correct. He does not.
He does not have children and therefore does not have child support.
That is true.
Is he contributing? Are they living in a rented home or apartment?
They're living in a home that he owns.
That he owns. Okay. All right. Well, very good questions, Dan. Would you, Rob, like to respond to Dan? And can Dan take the answer on the radio? Can he turn his... Yeah, turn your radio back up, Dan. Thank you very much for calling.
All right.
Very good questions. Rob, what do you think?
Most certainly a scenario that most certainly I've seen before. I think what is unique in this is that the kids are older. When kids are younger, it brings in the issue of child care. So if a person is going to work full-time and they don't have a college degree and their earning capacity is not that great, you do have to pay some respect to someone earning $15 an hour and paying child care at $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. But we don't have that here. We have two kids that probably are not in need of child care, that we have a custodial parent who has a college degree. The general approach to this is that if a person has the ability to be employed and the opportunity to be employed, then the court can do a couple of things. First of all, they can impute income to this person. Mm-hmm. That is, as was touched on earlier on, about how the court can presume somebody earns minimum wage. If somebody just comes in and, as an example, it's an extreme example, but somebody just says, I'm not going to work and I'm just going to sit in my chair and not work. Well, the court can say, well, look, you're able-bodied, you're relatively young, you have a college degree, I can pick up a newspaper, I can go to a job site, and I can find numerous jobs that you could qualify for. Therefore, we are going to impute income to you because we believe that you can, in fact, earn that income if you set your sights on it. There is also another arrow in the quiver, so to speak, and that's known as a 4505 order. And that's 4505 is the family code statute. Mm-hmm. And what it is referred to is a go-to-work order. It's not quite that, but that's how it's referred to. The courts can't make somebody go to work.
Yes.
But what the 4505 does is it requires them to report their job-seeking efforts to the other party. And that can become burdensome. And if they do not do that, and the court will then set periodic hearings in order to check the status of that. And if they don't do it, if they continue to be defiant, the court can ratchet up the pressure where you get to a point that perhaps the imputation comes so great that you are compelled to go into the workforce because your support's been reduced so much.
How does Dan go about trying to get the court to do something to help him? He feels he is burdened here unfairly. Should he go to his local child support services office and tell them what's going on and ask, is there something you can do, or does he have to deal with a private attorney such as yourself?
He could do both. I think Trinidad could perhaps add her perspective to it, but as a private member of the private bar and as an advocate, and if he came to see me, this is what I would lay out.
But you would have to charge, obviously.
Of course.
I mean, you got to make a living.
Absolutely.
You're not going to do it for free.
Yeah.
Trinidad, what can your child support, as an example, your child support services office do with respect to Dan's point about this, that he feels it's very unfair that he has this burden, whereas his former wife could be working more, making more?
We'd have to open up a case in our office to obtain services, but assuming he does that.
At no charge to him?
No charge
right?
to him.
Okay.
We would then look at the case and see if it qualified for a review and adjustment. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it probably would. The only factor I don't know is how old the order is.
Uh-huh. What difference would that make?
Well, because if the order was obtained when the kids were 5, 6, 7, 8, and it refers to the point that Robert was making, which is that maybe it made sense at that point for mom to be a stay-at-home mom or working part-time. But if the order is from last year, well, then I'm assuming the court considered.
Evaluated this,
right.
Yeah.
But assuming that the order is one that could be modified, then we would file a modification on his behalf. The other thing, though, that I need to say in terms of just services that are available to a consumer and to a parent is every county also has a family law facilitator's office, and it also is a free service. They work under the auspices of the court. So if Dan was in a particular hurry and wanted to file a modification right away, then he could go to the facilitator's office and ask them for their assistance, and they would help him prepare the paperwork to file for a modification.
And Chuck, with regard to the issue about her living with somebody,
yes,
that person has, that child is not their obligation. It's not their child. They have no legal obligation to support that child. So she could be living with Bill Gates and it doesn't matter. That that partner, that boyfriend, whatever you want to call them, they have no legal obligation to support that child. So they're really outside the calculation.
Very interesting.
With regard to him owning the home, again, not an issue. It's rare, but that expenses play a part in determining child support. So one could say, hey, she doesn't have to pay rent, so she has less expenses. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay. All right. Let me give the number again, 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KOW listeners like you. If you are in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is, and I'm not just talking about family law, whatever it may be. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced for you, set you up with half an hour consultation with the attorney. If you have some type of disability and you cannot go to the attorney's office, I think most lawyer referral offices will try to work out something where you can have a telephone conference with an attorney for half an hour. What you will be confronted with, depending on the county, is for half an hour, perhaps a low of $25 or a high of $35. That does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to support the service. It's a fine service if you need some help on, let's say, at least an initial basis and a limited basis. So let me tell you this. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about enforcing child support by child support service offices of counties throughout California. My two guests from the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services are Ileana Rodriguez, the director, and Trinidad Madrigal, a staff attorney with that office. My other guest is Robert Bruning. He's a family law attorney. His office is in San Mateo. So if you want to join us with a question, a comment, or a problem, whatever it may be, 1-415-841-4134. And let's see, who do we have at this point, Martin? Do we have someone who we can put on the air here? No? Okay. All right. We don't at this point. What have not we touched upon, Ileana, that you would like to bring up at this point while we're waiting for the next caller?
We've talked about debt a lot, and I think something many people do not know who may owe child support debt is that there is a compromise of arrears program in California for that debt which is state owed. So if you have had periods of unemployment or incarceration, or the debt has, or you were ill, disabled, and the debt got away from you, you can apply for a compromise of arrears program, and based on your current income or assets, we may be able to compromise a portion of that state debt. We cannot.
When you say state debt, what are you talking about? You're talking about, is it child support Non-payment of child support is a state debt?
If children were in receipt of public assistance, your child support is owed to the state as opposed to the parent.
Yeah.
That portion of the debt while your child was on assistance becomes state owed, and interest on that debt could be substantial. It's 10% interest per year.
Under the government code, isn't it? Yeah.
So if you are in that situation, don't know if you're in that situation, have a case in California, it may be worthwhile just picking up the phone and contacting your local office to see if you qualify.
Okay.
The other debt relief program that we offer, but it's a little more unique, is if your child was in foster care. Or is currently in foster care under the auspices of the juvenile court, and the entire goal of Children's Protective Services and juvenile court is to reunify the family, so that the kids come back to the custodial parent that they were taken away from. If your child's in foster care, we can also work with you for foster care reunification waiver of the child support that accrued while your kids were in foster care.
Very interesting. Okay, so, all right, we have Anna. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Of course. Go ahead.
Okay, so, I have a son, and through the San Francisco office, I received child support payments. At the time the order was enforced, my ex-partner's wages are being garnished right now. At the time the order was set, I had a job, I had money, I didn't feel like it was a priority to get the child support, and so but I've been on welfare, so the state so the city enforced it for me, and I didn't actually go to the court date, So my ex-partner, who's also working, who lives in another state, got a pretty low child support amount. He claimed hardship. He had just had a new baby. So my question is, now my son is much older. I have a lot more expenses, and I tried to get the order revised, but I have a dirty secret. I have kind of been claiming more dependents than I actually have on my taxes, and I know.
Wait a minute, claiming what on your taxes?
More dependents than I actually have on my W-2, or not? What is it? Is it a W-2?
Yeah.
They ask you how many. Yeah, and I noticed that was one of the questions when I tried to, when I asked for the forms to try to get another court date so the child support order could be reviewed. They ask, how many dependents do you claim on your taxes?
We're wondering, does that mean that you're claiming you had more withholding from your salary? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I mean. See, I didn't really understand it when I started doing it. Someone told me, "Well, if you put a bigger number here, then they keep less from your check." But then I did my taxes last year at an actual tax attorney, and the guy was like, "Yeah, this is, you can't do this," you know.
Maybe we'll visit you in the penitentiary. Do you think, or? what is your concern? What's your question? Go ahead.
Well, my concern is if I go to court to try to get the child support order changed.
Yes.
And I tell the truth that I'm claiming, a number, that I'm claiming withholding that I don't actually have. Am I going to get in trouble?
All right. You're wondering if the IRS is going to come after you, and you're going to have a radio in the penitentiary to listen to this program from now on at the penitentiary. Well, let me do this, Anna. You're very good. And how old is your child, by the way?
My son is 15, and he's almost 16. There's only two more years, but I think I deserve more money.
Oh, sure. I understand.
He deserves more money.
All right. Okay, that's a good point. And what community do you live in? It's all right. We're not going to send them out to get you. What city? Where are you?
San Francisco.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. All right. I think we can talk about this, and you can actually hang up the phone so that Big Brother will no longer monitor you, okay? And turn your radio back up. All right.
Thank you. This call never happened.
This call never happened. That's right. Okay. All right. I'm glad you called, because this is not probably that terribly unusual, I suppose. But
no, it's
Ileana,
not.
What do you say about this?
Well, I'm going to leave the modification.
Should we go send her? Go visit her in the penitentiary. Go ahead. What comments do you have for her?
Well, good. We are not the IRS,
so it's not uncommon
that people. Yeah. Claim more dependents than they legally would when they file their tax returns. That's irrelevant. When they complete their income and expense declaration, we routinely find people saying 10, and we say, well, how are you? It's you and the child, it's two. So we'll correct it, or you correct it. But you certainly want to tell the court the truth.
Yes, because that's under penalty of perjury.
You can
get in trouble
that's
for that.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll leave the modification portion to Robert and Trinidad.
What do you think? Rob?
Well, it's true. The IRS does not have agents in trench coats and sunglasses in the courtrooms. So that's not a concern. People who are in the cash economy, in the building trades who are paid in cash, that's always a concern of theirs as well. And it's really not the concerns of the courts. It's not my concern. It's not DCS's concern. What's concerned is getting the right amount of support for that child. So we really don't deal intensely with tax issues we do observe the correct and necessary inputs because there are a lot of tax effects that a lot of tax issues that do have an effect on the determination of support. But we have far bigger fish to fry than whether or not somebody is claiming too many dependents.
So you're saying at this point that her concern that perhaps she could get in trouble, as long as she's honest in the court in terms of the document under penalty of perjury she submits with whatever her actual income is, with her actual expenses, as long as she's honest with that.
Correct.
That's all that really matters here.
It's about the here and now.
Oh, this is it. Okay, yeah. And I hope you heard that, and I hope you move forward, because hopefully that would be of help to you. Any other comments?
I
for
was
her?
Just yes. going to comment
Trinidad,
that,
please.
That fear of hers should not be the barrier to filing a modification.
Yeah. There you are, Anna.
She can do it through the RNA process through San Francisco, or she can go to the facilitator's office, she can hire a private attorney, or she can try to do it on her own.
Yeah, there you are, Anna.
But I did want to say one thing,
yes.
And Rob alluded to this early on in the program. Extra expenses or additional expenses is not necessarily a change of circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
The burden of proof, meaning what you have to prove to the court that would result in a different child support order, whether it's an increase or a decrease, is a change of circumstances.
What does that mean, change of circumstances?
So, different income, more children, different deductions on your pay stub because you've changed jobs, like you pay more health insurance now.
I see. Okay.
You have child care now and you didn't before. You've lost your job. You're on disability. You're unemployed. Those types of legal factors.
All right. All right. Let's talk with Mark. Mark, welcome to your legal rights.
Hi. I'm not paying support now, but I have in the past. And I was in a situation where I had 2 sons who were 4 years apart. And during the time that I was paying support, one of them turned 18. I went through a period of unemployment and ended up owing arrears. And at the time, my attorney had said that I could get, I've heard you talk about modifications, said I could file for a modification once my older son turns 18 and I could get a reduced rate or something. Well, it turned out that I wasn't able to get a modification. And I ended up paying 4 years of full child support after my older son turned 18.
You're saying after your older son turned 18?
Yes, because my divorce settlement agreement, my attorney said, was written in a way that it wasn't possible to split support payment between the two sons.
You agreed. Agreed in the settlement agreement that
is that typical?
I see some heads in my office, in my program here, shaking the way that says no.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. And were you represented by an
amount of money?
Were you represented by an attorney in this, Mark?
Yes, I was.
And your attorney agreed to this.
Family law. I didn't read the settlement agreement.
I'm surprised. What did you get, Mark? What did you get in return for agreeing to that? Or did you?
I don't recall any significant...
Was there a splitting of property where you got a little bit more than your former wife?
We had done a buyout on the house, but it was nothing significantly uneven.
So you paid child support on your son until he was 22 years of age?
Correct.
Wow.
I had owed arrears from my time being employment, so I'm assuming that was some consideration as far as the motion being filed.
So your question is, I think you said, is this common? And frankly, is that your question?
Yes.
Well, my guests were shaking their heads no, but let me get some comments for you. Eliana, please.
Just one question. Yeah. Is the order from California?
Is it a California order? Are you there, Mark?
Yes.
What county? What county?
San Mateo County.
San Mateo, my county. My goodness. Wow.
Well, parties can agree to whatever they want to.
Yeah,
so the emancipation age in California is 18 or graduation from high school, but no more than 19 years of age.
Wow.
If they agreed to...
He had mentioned a settlement agreement,
yes.
And it's possible that sometimes you can... The court loses jurisdiction over the child once they are emancipated, once they are...
Which is 18 years of age.
Or graduating from high school, but no older than 19.
Right. Yeah.
You can include in a settlement agreement terms that prolong support past that period of time, the jurisdiction, the enforcement is really a contractual enforcement at that time. It's the actual settlement agreement, that contract, that is the enforcement mechanism for that. Mm-hmm. So that can happen, and I think I heard Mark mention that perhaps he didn't read it as carefully as perhaps he should have, and I think therein lies the devil.
The whole process was extremely, difficult.
I will say it's... bit extraordinary. College expenses does come up quite often, agreements. Yeah. Generally speaking, agreements can trump statutory law. Yeah. Meaning, if parties come to an agreement, then the courts are going to say, "Hey, if you're good with it, I'm good with it, and we'll let it go." So, if somebody has their eyes open, they know that they are going to continue to support their child through college, then that can happen through their agreement.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, Mark. I want to thank you very much for joining us on the program. We have come to an end of the program, unfortunately. I want to thank you, Eliana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Chuck.
Trinidad Madrigal, the director and the staff attorney for the San Mateo County Department of Child Support Services. Both local and statewide number, 866-901-3212. And Rob Bruning, thank you very much for joining
us. You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Bruning, family law attorney with office in San Mateo. Your Legal Rights production staff members are, and this is the first time we've done this with Eric Wayne. Eric, thank you very much for joining us, who is the program engineer. And then production assistant is Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Trusts and Estates section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. I said that. The California Applicants Attorneys Association. By the way, if you've been ripped off by an auto mechanic, next week we're going to do auto repair issues. My guests will be program manager Don Johnson, not the actor, not the famous actor. This is Donald Johnson, California Department of Consumer Affairs, Bureau of Auto Repair, Santa Clara office. And Sajjan Bobby Reddy, longtime auto mechanic, now retired, so I think you might find this interesting. That's next week. Thanks very much for joining us. I'm Chuck Finney.